Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host Scott Patton, along with Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, is it a sunny day where you are?
Oh, Scott, it's so gloriously gorgeous. I don't know if I can contain myself.
It's a beautiful day here. A little bit of snow on the ground, but a sunny day. It's nice, beautiful. It's a good day to be alive.
Oh, I tell you. And, of course, when you say that this is the show on the network radio, it makes me feel like I'm, you know, like all somebody. I get all puffed up and start thinking, there's more to me than there really is.
It's big. It's huge. It's a phenomenon.
Yeah, and pretty soon I'll start thinking that my sweat doesn't stink, you know.
I'm sure your wife will remind you.
Thank you.
But we appreciate all our listeners telling your friends about the show, and it's continually growing. It's wonderful, so thank you. And speaking of friends, I was talking to one of my friends recently, and this individual is somewhat on the heavy side.
Well, let's just call it what it is. Let's not be so whatever.
Politically correct.
I mean, hey, listen, 30% of Americans are morbidly obese. 60% of Americans are obese, what we would call fat, oversized, you know, whatever. She's one of those, right?
Yeah, very, very definitely. She's round.
Yeah, oh, okay. So is she sort of wider than taller?
She's sort of wider than taller, yes.
Okay,
and
anyway.
She went to see her doctor. And we had a bit of a discussion about, because what she told me when she saw her doctor was that she had never been this heavy. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And, oh, no, it's fine. Doctor told me I had nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the doctor did a blood test for inflammation, like homocysteine levels or that sort of thing. What do you think?
I would say no. I would say he probably took a stethoscope, listened to her heart. They did some sort of ultrasound, said her lungs were fine, even though she's been a smoker for quite a few years, and did her blood pressure and felt like, oh yeah, no, you're within the
norm.
The norm, which of course is, you know, the norm is lots of cancer, heart attacks, and diabetes, and all those sort of good things. But
yeah.
She was sure that her health was fine, there was nothing wrong, and no major change required in her lifestyle.
Yes. Well, so she's expected to age at the predictable trajectory, reaching the early demise. She's not likely to live into her 120s or 30s. She's probably going to be gone in her 70s or maybe top end, 82.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Which is okay if that's all you expect of life. But
well, and also what's the quality of life, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'd love to come to my end just skidding and screeching at full speed. You know, do one of those car stunt pull-ins to my final day.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then go have a nice nap and never wake up.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of this fellow right now. He was a well-known nutritionist. He died at 96, 6 weeks after his surfboarding accident.
Oh. Nice.
That's right.
To be surfing at 96. Wow.
Yeah. That was the accident that got to him. Anyway,
Someone who's going to see their doctor, what sort of things should they be asking the doctors to check in addition to just, you know, listen to my heart, take my blood pressure, and those sort of everyday ordinary things that
really don't tell us that much. I'm sorry, Scott.
I was saying, which really don't tell us anything much unless there's something drastically wrong, right? I mean, if the blood pressure is off the charts, well, you know, thanks. You know, this is a really good time to find out. You know, like, these things don't happen overnight, right?
Right. No, it's a creepy kind of a thing that keeps going. Although, frequently you end up, these logarithmic sea change kind of events that, you know, it's slowly going dip, 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 dip to some kind of a limit, and all of a sudden it breaks through and it's a floodgate. Mm. And you were fine for 5 years, and all of a sudden you're not, in a big way.
Right.
Not. And those are, you know, like the most common signal that you get for heart trouble or circulatory problem is a massive heart attack. That's your first warning.
Right.
You know, so it's not like you're going to, you know, have a knock-knock and then bang-bang and then hello, hello. No, it's going to be boom, it's over.
Right. Yeah, because most people don't survive their first heart attack, do they?
Most don't, no. No, that's the most common way, you know. Anything in you're a man over 40, and poof, you're gone. Now it actually happens to women commonly as well. It didn't used to.
Hmm.
I think actually it happens most commonly on Mondays, and it happens to people who just hate to go to work.
Right.
You know, they'd be rather dead than there.
And so they are.
Yeah, but that's another story. What I wanted to say or speak about is this. The decision whether you're fat or not is controlled by your brain. And not very old, you know, recent, last 15 years, research shows that it depends on a hormone called leptin.
Hmm.
And leptin is released by the fat itself. And when the signaling of the leptin is recognized in the brain knows, oh yeah, we're fat. We are going to shut off the requests for more feed, and we're going to start burning the fat.
Mm, okay.
Because normally you would be, you know, a fat person will be living off of carbohydrates, will be living off of a high glycemic index food.
Sure.
As in, I need a piece of cake, or I want my coffee and donut, or, you know, that sort of craving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a craving that's practically irresistible.
I've had that craving. Like, there's been many a night where I've opened every cupboard looking for something to stick in my mouth, and of course I have nothing that is, you know, chocolate chip cookies or chips
you have defended against that eventuality simply keeping your house empty of that.
That's right. There's a war going on, right? There's
yeah.
Scott who will stick anything in his mouth and Scott who doesn't want to stick everything in his mouth. And at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock some nights, that war reaches a crescendo as the Scott that doesn't want to eat anything bad is gone to sleep. And the other Scott is running around trying to find something to stick in his mouth.
Well, I could just visualize getting in the car and driving to the nearest someplace to get a fix.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
You know, it happens to me too, because I'm that personality type, blood type, whatever, you know. So we need to forever stand on the vigil for not getting caught in this trap.
That's right. We got to be on guard.
But the point isn't to try and overcome with your will this craving.
Mm-hmm.
The point would be to figure out how you could actually change your body's signaling system so instead of having you burn or live on a high glycemic index, as in coffee and donut fix, the body would naturally want to consume fat. You know, there are these two modalities it can be in.
Wow.
One is burning carbs or sugar, mm-hmm. and the other one is burning fats. And it has everything to do with the insulin and leptin and, you know, the hypoglycemic, hyperglycemic episodes. And it has to do with thyroid hormonal levels, and it has to do with triglycerides. And all of this can be measured and tested in a doctor's office if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, it can be fixed. It can be fixed through dietary changes. And this is what actually got me really I'm going to get into a sidebar here. Just today, about 3 hours ago, a woman called me and said, I'm calling to ask you about this article about leptins you have on your website. I'm looking for somebody who could put us into this study. You know, like you can check leptins only by doing blood tests, but, you know, we can change that. I says, well, how do you know all this? And she says, well, my daughter is doing a science project. And I said, so what did she do? She said, well, she got blood drawn of 22 people, and she got the blood levels of leptin tested, and she's doing a science project. And I said, is this college level? She says, no. I said, high school? She says, no, she's in grade 7.
Wow.
I said, you have a bit of a genius living with you. And she says, well, she did make it to the state science fair in Texas. So,
wow.
You know. Anyway, kids are, you know, heading straight for med school right after grade 7. But anyway, the point was that one of the subjects, a 25-year-old woman, had leptin level of 82, which you're supposed to be somewhere in the tens.
Oh, dear.
So what that means is this. The leptins are high, which means she's phenomenally fat, but the brain is not listening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a block, right? And
right.
if there was not the block, the brain would recognize it and said to the body, burn fat, we got loads of it.
Right, right. There's a glut in the market.
Yeah, that's right.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
So what causes that, Martin?
Well, it's the sad story, standard American diet story. You know, we have been conditioned by the foods that we eat, slowly. Same way as you can condition a pig to become a fattened dog to make lots of bacon, or you can condition a goose to make foie gras. You know, like you can make a goose eat like crazy and become over fat. And especially it happens when you develop fatty liver.
Hmm.
So the signaling just gets messed up. You end up with high insulin levels, but you have insulin resistivity, and so the messages are not getting into the cells.
So what should somebody do in that? So I guess what you're saying is that everyone should go and have this checked.
Well, if you're fat, for sure, or if you're having these crazy cravings. But you don't need to have it checked to know. You know, like, I don't need to... I don't know, how do I say it nicely? I don't need to check outside that it's raining, right? I see it's raining. You know, I look at me and I have 4 extra inches of fat around my middle. Well, that tells me that the signaling system is not working all that good.
Right. So now we know that our signaling system is not working good.
Yeah.
What can we do to make it work better?
Well, the only company that I've found so far, well, now let me start further back. There's this researcher, Ron Rosedale, and we have had several of his articles. He's been researching diabetes for the last 20 years, and we've had his really well-received articles on our website. He has now teamed up with a company called Max International, where they are introducing this, you know, control your weight program, and they have a product called WLX, which would be weight loss
extra
something control, and they're doing really well with it, and it's a education plus supplement, you know. And Ron says that it takes 3 weeks at the most to re-educate the body, to get the signaling back to working, so that it stops wanting to burn glucose and starts burning fat, which is the natural way for it to be. So instead of having these swings, right, where you need to have a lot of easy-to-burn sugary foods, to just switching to mostly the slow-burning, you know, high-fat foods, but mainly, what we keep talking about, the superfoods and the greens and the, you know, like the hemp protein powder and that sort of thing.
Right, right.
All I could say is I would love people that have that interest to go read it. You know, go to Life Enthusiasts Co-op's website, click on brands, and look at Max International, and look at products called Max WLX. It will zap the belly fat. Promise.
And basically what it does is it helps the body to realize that there's a lot more fat hanging around than should be, and says, okay, it's okay to release it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Burn it up.
Yeah, the only known way to fix this is through dietary changes, diet and supplements.
Right.
So you take the right supplements, you re-educate your body with the right signaling, and 2 to 3 weeks later, you're a new man or a new woman.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, so they put you on multiple meals instead of fewer, and you have more frequent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not two, rather, you know, switch it for 6. You know, get some protein and quality fat, like fish, vegetables, good oils. Chew lots. Drink a lot of water. Most of it you must drink between meals, not with meals. Because, you know, if you drink with meals, you end up diluting your stomach juices, which means that it's going to be weak to digest.
So when people get this leptin into their system, it helps them control their hunger, and it also helps the body realize it's, you know, we need to burn some body fat here as opposed to just the sugars.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. I think I got it.
Yeah. So there. So a little bit of supplementation, a little bit of behavioral modification, and off we go.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, Martin. I think that was really good. It was something that was really bothering me when we talked before we started the show, and we kind of went on a little bit of a tangent from, you know, the minerals we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, but I really was concerned for my friend, right? And
mm-hmm.
and wanted to, and so we ended up talking about it, and I thought, you know, what we're talking about is so interesting and so important that I thought we should record it and put it out on our radio network this week.
Yeah, right. Good idea. I appreciate that. Here's let me just give you a list of foods that are not conducive to healthy longevity, period.
So these are foods that you would want to avoid.
Yeah, these are the foods that if you're craving those, you definitely have a leptin problem, leptin signaling problem.
Okay.
Commercially prepared salad dressings, fried foods, commercially processed oils. You know, the Mazolas, the Puritans, Wessons, hydrogenated oils, the light or squeezable butters, shortening, anything with the word hydrogenated.
What about regular butter?
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Foods not allowed. Dairy, which is skim, 2% whole powdered cream butter. Oh, sorry, I was wrong. He puts butter on the, don't eat it.
Okay, so it wasn't on the light butter list, but it was on the dairy list. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. White potatoes. All dry packaged white potatoes. All dry packaged breakfast cereals.
Okay, including granolas.
Including, yes. Rice, bread, deli meats, all pork products, peanuts and peanut butters. Beans, especially garbanzo and chickpeas.
You're not leaving a whole lot left for us to eat here.
Yeah, corn on the cob, popcorn, cornbread, tortilla.
No corn on the cob?
Nuh-uh.
Oh,
no. No, it's starchy. Okay, I guess I better take a look at what is allowed here, huh?
Well, Let's see, steak. I didn't hear you say steak.
Okay.
Chicken.
Okay, yeah, the high recommended is nuts and nut butters, preferably raw and unsalted.
And so those would be nuts except for peanuts.
Yeah, the recommended ones are almonds, walnuts, Brazils, pecans, pistachios.
Huh.
And then seeds, preferably raw and unsalted, such as sunflower, pumpkin, poppy, sesame. I would say that the hemp and flax should be there, too. Sardines are happy. Fish, preferably fresh, but frozen's okay. Eggs.
It's okay to cook them?
Yeah, sure.
Not raw fish?
Yeah, raw fish is better. And then chicken, yeah, this is free-range chicken, especially.
And eggs, you said eggs?
Eggs are happy, yeah.
Do you, now, are those raw eggs, or can I have them fried?
Well...
in Mazola oil.
Preparation, poached, soft-boiled, or hard-boiled.
Okay.
Hard-boiled. Okay. Wild meat, like venison, pheasant, and buffalo. Non-fat cheese, like cottage cheese and ricotta.
Is yogurt on there?
No. No, but I would expect it to be okay.
Okay.
Except, of course, he was... this is Ron Rosedale's list, right?
Yeah.
You know, this list will be especially important to people who are blood type O. Because they just don't do well with carbohydrates at all. They... you know, the blood types A's and B's, they can handle it a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But still. So going along here, veggie burgers are okay. For your fat sources, cod liver oil, flax, hemp. Do not heat them. Coconut. If you must cook with oil, use olive or coconut. Avocados, lots of that. Mm-hmm.
Good. I love avocados.
Okay. Nuts, definitely no peanuts. And for carbohydrates, he recommends greens like turnip, mustard, kale, beet, chard, and spinach. And your lettuces and broccolis and cucumbers and onions and peppers and squashes and sprouts. Every sprout you want. Unlimited quantities.
I have a sprout on every sandwich I make.
Good for you.
Yeah,
that's
I really
great.
Like it.
Yeah. Cool. And in limited quantities, beef and lamb, soft cheese, hard cheese, canola, and sour cream. Yep. So that's the story.
No
cakes, no cookies, no ice cream. Well, we already know the score, right?
No scotch, no beer.
Yeah,
one glass
right.
of red wine.
Yep, you got it.
Well, and the thing is, if someone who's living the typical, I like to go to McDonald's three times a week diet, lifestyle, you know, this would be daunting and overwhelming. But
impossible.
Impossible. But really, I have a friend that... was into a high-protein diet and lots of steak and that sort of stuff. And he started dating a gal who was into a raw food diet.
Mm-hmm.
So she started making these dishes out of raw foods. And then I'd come over and he'd say, try this. And this is really good. He says, there's nothing in here is cooked. And I couldn't believe it. So it's just a skill like any other skill. And if you get a couple of these raw food cookbooks, I guess you can't really call it a cookbook, can you? Recipe book. Raw food cookbook. That's an interesting one, right?
Yeah, I guess we should call it prep book.
Blank pages in it because there's no raw food cook in it. It's just a matter of making that change. And these dishes that she was making were spectacular dishes. So
mm-hmm.
I really think that it's a case of just learning it and practicing it a little bit and trying some of the stuff out. And, when you go to the produce stand and you you buy the fresh fruits and vegetables and everything else, you know, you can buy an awful lot of food for what would go into one bag of canned food, right?
Yes.
So, you know, that's a good way to save on money, too, and particularly in these recessionary times that people talk about us being in.
Yes. Yeah, I actually have a raw food, actually living food expert friend, and I'm hoping to convince her to start taping some, you know, when she's preparing food at home. I hope that there's going to be two people with a camera taking pictures so we can turn it into a couple of lessons about lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm. That would be awesome.
Yeah, she told me that she had 25 tapes already that she wants me to transcribe and turn into something. So I'll have to work on that.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you heard it here.
There you go.
But the good thing is this. This Max WLX supplement, it really does make it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go with that.
Awesome. So it'll help restore vitality to you and to the planet, right?
Absolutely. Well, at least to you.
So if somebody wanted to talk more about Max International and all this interesting stuff and raw foods, how could they get a hold of you, Martin?
On the phone, 1-866-543-3388. On the website, www.life-enthusiast.com. And on the other podcasts at lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com.
Wonderful.
Yes, that should do it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Look forward to having you along with the ride next time. I'm Scott Patton along with Martin Patella, and you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op online radio network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.